celebrate and thank, we want to thank our guests for a great song. And we will not complain. Amen. But we will bless the Lord on the other hand at all times. Hallelujah. And his praise shall continually be in our mouth. We want to thank God once again. This is our special celebration of Mother Mary Lemon. Amen. And we're going to go right ahead now. There is a word from the Lord. And I'll make sure, I know y'all got some other festivities and things you want to get to. So we won't be long with you today, but I thank God for the family and all of you who've traveled this far to be here for this great celebration. Amen. Amen. And it is definitely a blessing once again. Amen. So we're going to just go right ahead. I want to call your attention to a passage in the Psalms, and this will be found in Psalms number 37. And also just a few verses in Philippians. I want to go back and pick up the text in Psalms 37. Most of you are familiar with the passage in Psalms 37. But let's read first today, and for the reading portion of this sermon, I'd like you to go to Philippians chapter 4. And let's start right in at verse 4. You can read this with me. I have it here in the KJV. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Amen. That's our scripture reading for today. You may be seated in the sanctuary. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing of his holy and inerrant word. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless your name, Father. We just thank you right now, Father. We give you praise because you are excellent, O God, and worthy of all praise. Father, we lift you up because your name is the highest that there is. Father, there's none like you. We want to thank you today, oh God, for all that you have done for us. And Father, we want to give you the best praise we know how. In your word, the Bible says, hallelujah is the highest praise. And so we come right now, hallelujah. We give you praise right now, God. Hallelujah. And the life that Mother Lemon has, that I have shared together. We shared a lot of good times together, actually going out spreading the gospel in different ways to people. Amen. Sometimes just being there, your testimony it shows forth just from your presence.
Yeah.
Because God has called you. If you're saved, it's because Almighty God has called you.
Amen.
He called you out of darkness. You know what? We didn't just suddenly wake up one day and all of a sudden we decided to seek after God. The Bible says no man seeketh after God. But the Bible says all who are called, many are called, but few are chosen. And God says that he is sending out the church into the world to proclaim the good news about his son. So that whosoever believes the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we have a good central message that God has sent out, and he wants every man, woman, boy, and girl on earth in all time to know this.
Amen.
And there is only one standard that God has. And most of you who are churchgoers and Christians, those of you who have trusted Christ, those of you who have believed that God is raised from the dead, you understand this. This is elementary. We can say it's Christianity 101. The fact that you know that God has given his son, and that only by God's grace, through faith in his son, can anyone be saved. So God has made the message simple, and he has given us time in order to go out and manifest this message to the world. And he has promised, not only has he given us time and what to say, and what the gospel is about. Gospel is a word that means good news. It is good news that God loves wretches like me. And that he will forgive you of your sin. It's good news that he will bless you by grace. Grace simply means undeserved or unmerited favor. And so God is willing to extend to anyone who trusts in Christ unmerited favor. In other words, you don't deserve it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But God wants to give it as a free gift. And the reason is that our relationship between us and God needs to be a perfect relationship. Anything short of perfect is unacceptable. So if we were to try to come on our own means, on our own basis, by our own works, in our own way, as so many try to do, we would come short of what God requires. And this is the reason why God gave his son, Jesus Christ. In other words, anyone who would try to come on any other means would nullify the fact that God sent his son. That would make what Jesus did look pretty unnecessary. If there's a way that I can be saved without Christ, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? That would have been a useless crucifixion and burial and resurrection. And Jesus did all that, and I can get there some other kind of way. But the truth of the matter is there's one way. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one way to be right. And God has entrusted me and you who believe in him with that message to go out to the world and preach to dying men and sinking women, as we like to say. And boys and girls of every age and every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue and people, that God so loved the world, he gave his son Jesus. And you know what? It should be easy for the world to believe it because the whole world's configured around Jesus. No one else. But we preach it, and the privilege of going out telling that good news is what we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called us, blessed us, equipped us with his word, and he configured the world around his son to make it easy for people to believe. Because God wants you to believe, he wants you to be saved. Now Paul, as we read this text here, is writing to the church at Philippi, which was one of his favorites. Churches, he exudes a bunch of love and about these Philippians, and he actually writes this letter from a prison of all things, because you would think that if a person was bringing you good news, that you wouldn't lock him up in the jail. But the fact is, he brought good news, and because of that, he interfered with the lives of other people who did not believe his message, and he was thrown in the jail, even though it was against the law, because he was a Roman citizen. But he writes this letter back to the church of Philippi sometime after he had visited there and found the church in Philippi. And this is part of the conclusion of this letter. This is what I want today. And so let's look at it again. We put in right there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, this is coming right out of the prison cell, one of the most filthiest, low-down cells that you could ever be locked in Rome at the time. But this man is able to see that I need to rejoice, and I need to tell the church, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the devil has put on your face, no matter what the world is putting down for you, regardless of any trouble you may be going through, you have to get this from the inside. This is something you won't be able to do from the outside.
All right.
If you look at your circumstances, your conditions, and the things in the world, the flesh, and the devil put on you, you may not feel this way. But keep in mind, Paul said, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the devil is doing, what the world is doing, and even what your own flesh is doing, rejoice in the Lord. Always. That means no matter what I'm going through, up or down, and I need to always find a way to rejoice. Now, what is it that would make you rejoice in negative situations and circumstances? And be able to say, as Paul was saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And then just in case you didn't hear me the first time, and again, I say, rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now let's stop a minute and unpack that. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, no matter how ugly it may be, no matter how painful it may be, God has never left your side.
No.
He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll be with you in sickness and health.
Wow.
I'll be with you for richer or for poor.
Wow.
No matter what you're going through, God has promised that I will be with you.
Amen.
He told them to go and preach the good news to all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, the law.
Thank you.
give my life a ransom for many. He already knew what was going to happen. But the Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him. And he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so Paul understands this. He hated the cross too. He hated Jesus. That's why he was glad to send him to the cross. He was happy that people were against him. But he got turned around one day on the Damascus Road. And he made a 180. He was going out to persecute the church. God turned him around 180 and sent him out to preach the gospel to the whole world. And he is the one writing, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, people ought to be able to see there's something different about you.
That's right.
I persecute you, but you're blessing me. Mm. I'm putting you down, but you're putting me up. Amen. I'm talking about you like a dog, but you are taking it and you're able to continue to be in good spirits and continue to rejoice. Mm. So let people see that side of you. You know where that comes from? One simple term, and I just call it internal motivation.
All right.
You know why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, must give you the quality to be able to be that
way.
He is the one that gets in you and causes you to understand that whatever you're going through, I know about it. In fact, I know about it, and I'm using you in the midst of whatever turmoil you may be going through. And so the whole thing that motivates it all is the love of God, which is shed abroad in our heart, Christ calls over Romans, by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So when you're a saint, the Holy Spirit blesses you and fills you, and at that point you can learn to love God, first of all, love all things. That means no matter what I'm hearing, no matter what anybody is saying, no matter how popular the thing is that they're saying, I'm going to go right back to God's word, trust him and believe him. In every situation, no matter what I hear, there's a lot of stuff negative against the truth in the time we live in. And so we have to learn to practice that, loving our neighbor as ourselves. On these two essential pillars hang all the law and the prophets. So our lesson today instructs us to trust God's provision of his son, Jesus, who supplies all who believe in him with the righteousness of God. Do you realize that when you trust Christ, God gives you his righteousness? That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. God says, get right with me first. Put me in your mind first. Put me in your heart first. Trust in my word first. Walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't have to be what's popular in the world. But what did I say in my word? And so if we do that, then we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we are led by internal motivation. God himself moves in, takes up residence in us, giving us the drive to do what we need to do.
Wow.
You know, sometimes we don't go along with the Holy Spirit. The room won't get quiet now. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, wherewith you have been sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, God put the Holy Spirit in you when you believe, and he sealed you. In other words, it's a done deal, and the seal of God. If he put the seal on, baby, you are sealed. You know what? The New Testament saints enjoy this, but the Old Testament saints had something to understand like this as well. David writes here in Psalms 37. I'm just going to share a little of this with you. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. In other words, God says, I got you. I'm going to cover you. You keep trusting me and do good no matter what the evildoers are doing. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. See, that Paul knew, no matter what God is allowing in my life, he is going to bring to pass everything that he promised me. He's not going to come short of anything he promised.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world that they dwell in. So he is well able. He knows what the circumstances are in right now. He knows the troubles that I'm going through. And he will bring me out at the moment. And nobody can touch me because God's seal is on me. If you're bad enough to move the seal, and I know you're not, then you can touch me. So the devil, you got to back down. You don't have what it takes.
Also the ones who are being cleansed by the relationship with God. Mm-hmm.
You know that? Your relationship with God is what's cleaning up your life. You may say, Pastor, I got some stuff I ain't clean. Keep on talking about that. Keep on talking. Keep on seeing this man. Keep on hearing this word. Keep your mind staying on him. He's working on it right now. The problem is not on his end. The problem is on mine. So I need to stay right there. Keep my mind fixed on the Lord. And he will bring it to pass. The indwelling Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures and provides the internal motivation required not only to begin to walk by faith, but also to understand how to continue in the faith and unto actual sanctification. God says, and put it this way, he said, he who began a good work in you will continue to perform even until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 1:6. God said, I started you in this work. I gave my son to get the whole thing going. He is paying the debt in full. If you trust him and walk by faith and not by sight, you will see the manifestation of what God is doing. That's for everybody, no matter who you are. No matter what nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue of people you come from. So the church at Philippi was instructed to apply this internal motivation to a change in what we allow our minds to dwell on, so that our focus is on the fruit of the Spirit rather than on the actions and the attitudes of others. And that's our lesson for today. Now I want to say this: all the time I've known Mother Linden, I have learned from her. She has learned from me, she would probably say that. But that's what the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another man sharpens his fellow or his friend. So God says, keep on with the fellowship. Keep walking by faith and not by sight. Keep on trusting him and believing him. And he will bring it to pass. So I'm going to ask you right now to pray. If there's anybody listening who isn't saved, that's our prayer today, that you would trust Jesus right now at this very minute. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come right now, Lord, just like we are. Some of us have been struggling trying to change it ourselves. We know stuff is not right. We got stuff that's holding us back, Lord, holding us down. Father, things we can't even defeat. But right now, we turn it over to you, Lord. We stop the fight, Lord God, because we know you have won the victory. Jesus came and took death upon himself. He tangled with the forces of hell and came through victorious. Got up out the grave after 3 days and nights and declared all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So, Father, today I believe the gospel, the good news that you so love the world, that you gave your only begotten Son. Save my soul right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for saving somebody right now, in the name of Jesus. You have promised us that we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. Right now we receive it, oh God. Help us to walk in it, oh God. Strengthen somebody right now who may be struggling, going through change. Father, look over Furman Miller right now, Lord God, and touch his wife today, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, look over everybody who is calling on you right now. Oh God, fill them with your precious Spirit. Touch them right now, God. Let them know that you have loved them with an everlasting love, that you are underneath with the everlasting arms, holding them up. We thank you for Mother Linden today. We thank you for her family today. We thank you for all that you have sent to celebrate this woman of God. And Father, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. And right now it is in Jesus' name we pray.